Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Learn to Live by Michael Landerly, narrated by Derek Scholes. Chapter 1. Nikki took a deep breath and leaned back in her seat to watch Maxwell demolish a prodigious amount of pizza all on his own. He'd mowed through almost a full pie while he was distracted, reading through one of the case files that had been dropped in their laps. She had no idea why Spear couldn't simply send them the case files electronically. It would have meant far less material they had to physically destroy once they were finished. But no, she reminded herself belligerently, the man was old-fashioned and mistrusted anything to do with the computer age. Given the skills that lay in her family, she had no desire to challenge his beliefs on that. Both Vicky and Jenny were the kind of people who would make her eat her words if she insisted that anything sent to them was safe if it was sent electronically. A little bored by the wait, she turned her attention to Jansen. He nibbled on his third piece and sipped a glass of Coke intermittently while he occasionally took notes on a nearby pad. The man shared their boss's mistrust for all things electronic. He had his origins in intelligence, so she could understand that he might have his reasons as well, although he didn't make his issues known to his partner, who took notes on a tablet. She didn't need to take notes herself. That was what she had her team for, after all. So, while they waded through the information, she only had to focus on the food part of the working lunch for now. And honestly, if there was anything in the world better than pizza, she had failed to find it. The wide variety available across the country, and even across the world, did mean there was a possibility of a few misses here and there. She wasn't as against pineapple on pizza as much as others might be, and anyway, there were bigger transgressors. For one thing, people added mayo. The only thing worse than that was peas and corn. She'd even heard of places in Sweden where bananas were used. In the end, while she didn't feel it was right to judge individual personal preference, no one on earth would ever convince her that bananas belonged on a fucking pizza. But still, there were more hits than misses, she reminded herself thankfully. A personal favorite was one that could be found in the great city of Chicago. While there were New Yorkers out there who would have shouted at the tops of their lungs that deep-dish pizza was not pizza but a casserole or something similar, Nikki told them they could stick their opinions where the sun had difficulty reaching. Chicago deep dish was pizza. End of discussion. And it was damn good pizza, too. Do you guys think we'll need to order more? She asked as she took her third slice. They had ordered two, which had seemed like enough for the three of them until she saw how quickly the large agent attacked the food. For the moment, they still had about a third left. Maxwell looked up and shrugged as he swallowed his mouthful.
I wouldn't complain. We can keep anything we don't eat and take it home, right?
Home. That was a concept she hadn't thought about for a while. She technically had a place of her own that she rented out since she didn't spend much time in any particular location, and that wasn't likely to change. It was a nice extra source of revenue and was handled by a friend who owned a real estate agency. The woman made most of the money from the rent, but that felt fair since she did most of the work to keep the property livable. Still, it was a nice little nest egg for her to fall back on, if she ever needed it. For the moment, though, she mostly relied on the short-term living situation she could afford or could bill her bosses for. Finally, when Maxwell looked expectantly at her, she shook her head and raised a hand to call the attention of a nearby waitress. The woman moved quickly to the booth they had taken control of for the past hour.
"Can we get another pie? Meatball and sausage, extra cheese, and some refills, please?"
she asked, and the server nodded and hurried to the kitchen. Jansen raised an eyebrow.
"We'll have to leave her one hell of a tip. That girl has waited for us to leave for a while now." "We're working here and ordering regularly," Maxwell pointed out as he picked another piece up and put it on his plate. "I know they need the turnover, but it's not like we're here during the rush hour. We're giving them a steady stream of business when they would usually not have much to do."
Nikki nodded. The eatery was mostly abandoned since the dinner rush hour was a few hours away. This left only a handful of booths still occupied, mostly by people like them who preferred the peace and quiet of the venue, as well as the free Wi-Fi, while they enjoyed the food and got some work done. One group wore suits and could have been working on a project for one of the nearby law firms. There were a couple of student groups, too, and finally, the three of them. She wondered what theories the bored waitstaff had made up about them. It was how her brain worked when she was in a similar position.
"Well, we'll leave a good tip anyway,"
Nikki asserted and picked up the next file from her stack.
"I'm still not a fan of the whole tipping system, though. The assumption should be that people will receive a fair wage for their work, and tipping should only be required if they did an exceptional job. Like, above and beyond. In this case, we require these people to go above and beyond in order to earn enough money to survive.
Go ahead and guess you were a waitress once, Jansen asked, his focus still fixed on his file.
Yes, but you don't need to have the experience to know it's a fucked-up system.
Maxwell smirked around another mouthful, but didn't add anything to the conversation. She had a feeling he was mocking her somehow, but decided not to engage. That would come later. Jansen's phone buzzed on the table and vibrated energetically enough to dance across the surface for a few seconds before he picked it up. He narrowed his eyes at the sight of the caller ID and finally pressed the button to answer.
Yeah?
He didn't sound happy to speak to whoever was on the line, but the more he listened, the more interested he seemed, and even jotted notes on his pad.
Okay, thanks. I'll wire you the usual amount.
He hung up quickly and looked Nikki firmly in the eye.
I have an informant who says he might have something that's in our realm of expertise, although it's not certain yet. Either way, it looks like something weird is happening in Louisiana, New Orleans to be precise. Since we're mostly waiting for shit to happen, do you think we should...
His voice trailed off. He didn't want to seem like he was ordering the team around, but she stared curiously at him. It wasn't like him to take information like that and act on it immediately. His style relied far more on collating data and files for her and Spear to look at first.
I don't see why we shouldn't investigate, she said finally, and Maxwell nodded in agreement. It's been a while since I visited New Orleans, and if there was ever a bad place for something zoo-based to go wrong, it would be in the middle of the largest wetlands in the country.
So, the plane? Jansen asked and looked from one to the other. It shouldn't be a long flight to New Orleans, and we can be wheels up in an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Nikki nodded.
Get on the phone with the hangar staff to prepare for immediate takeoff. Filing a flight plan and everything shouldn't take that long, right?
He had already begun to dial, while Maxwell stared at her, then the waitress, who returned with the pizza that they had ordered.
Is there any way for you guys to put the leftovers in a doggy bag for us?
Nikki asked and tried to keep her voice as polite as possible when the woman moved within earshot.
We've been called away and we can't bear the thought of letting any of this amazing food go to waste. And we'll need the bill too, please. Of course,
the woman replied with a smile and beat a hasty retreat to pack their food for travel before she returned with the bill and a bright smile. Nikki signed off on a 25% tip along with the rest of the bill and handed her the credit card Spear had issued her with to cover their work expenses. The man had to know the fact that they were on the road for their work at least 90% of the time meant most of their living expenses would be funneled back to them. She hadn't bothered to take it up with him, and there hadn't been any complaints about the amount of money he forked out to help them to be ready to work at a moment's notice. He had promised that no one would nitpick at every little detail of her budget, and so far, the man had delivered in spades. Nikki could only assume that was because she had delivered in a similar fashion. With the food packed and claimed quickly by Maxwell, they stood and moved out of the restaurant to where their SUV was parked.
So, will you tell me what weird something is happening in New Orleans?
She asked as they mounted up.
You know, aside from the Saints probably making a run at the playoffs this year.
I'll write a report for you on the plane, Jansen answered as the other man started the engine. You know, Spear loves him some paperwork.
I won't like it, will I?
He paused and scratched his jawline idly for a few seconds before he shook his head emphatically.
No. No, you won't.
So you're telling me you put a pause on the whole operation because you wanted to have a burger?
Taylor tilted his head and scowled when his jaw tapped lightly against the top of his armor. It wasn't painful, but enough to feel uncomfortable. He would need to put the helmet on soon. Vicky didn't sound happy about being dragged out of her comfortable location in Vegas to New Orleans, but it was unavoidable. He needed to do this, and she would be his backup, which meant she had to be much closer than she had been during their last operation.
First of all, he commented as he fidgeted with his helmet, I have waited out here in this fucking heat, which remains long past sundown, mind you, for fucking hours waiting for the stars to appear. So, yes, you're fucking right I went to get myself something to eat. Secondly, you say that like I picked up something from the drive-thru of a crappy brand fast food joint.
Didn't you?
You have access to my location through GPS, so I'll give you one more chance to rectify that error.
She didn't reply immediately, which told him she probably had no idea where he had gone.
So, you went to this Clover Grill. It doesn't look like anything special, honestly. Hell, their site looks like it was made in the 90s, and no one has bothered to upgrade it since then.
Be that as it may, you should know that the Clover Grill has operated since 1939.
Clover Grill. It doesn't even sound interesting.
You don't need to sound interesting when you've served the best burgers in the country 24 hours a day for over a century. Oh, and they serve beer with those burgers.
Huh. And so does McDonald's, except for the beer part. Here in the U.S., at least. I've heard they're allowed to serve beer in a few European countries, so maybe it's not even that inventive to add an alcoholic beverage. Hell, New Orleans probably has fast food joints that serve beer just because.
They don't serve burgers like this, Taylor asserted with a great deal of confidence he felt was more than warranted in this case. Honestly, if I were to die during this operation, I'd be happy to have a Clover's burger as my last meal. Hell, the fact that they're still in operation today despite opening on the same year that World War II started and have kept their venue on Bourbon Street all that time should tell you how many people keep coming back for more.
That simply means they have a dedicated fan base, not that they're any good. Nostalgia is one hell of a thing. Seriously, Taylor, it's only a meat patty slapped between a couple of sesame buns, and here you are getting all melodramatic.
Sure, but it's meat that makes you come to it over and over again.
Jesus H. fucking Christ, you make it sound like you're describing a piece of ass, and I hate you for making me picture that shit.
It's better than a piece of ass, he admitted as he began to check his weapons. The smaller suit had a different build to his usual one, which made carrying the larger assault rifles difficult and aiming almost impossible. He was, therefore, stuck with sidearms and a shotgun. In this kind of urban environment, though, it would be enough.
It's never turned me down, and it's never made me sleep on the couch, which makes it better than roughly 80% of my trysts.
You pulled that number out of your ass, didn't you?
Sure, but the point remains.
Well, quit thinking about the dirty things you would do to one of those Clover burgers. It looks like we have ourselves a green light, or as green a light as we'll ever get.
Taylor looked across the street from the small abandoned shop where he had set up. Lights had begun to go off in the target location, and people now left from the back entrance. The establishment was closing down for the night, a little later than he would have preferred, but it wasn't like their delays would interfere with his operation.
Okay, it's time to get your head in the game. You can keep telling me about how beautiful those burgers are later.
Give me... He pulled his helmet on and checked the time on his HUD. About 2 minutes and we'll go live on my mark.
You know, I've always wondered where this mark term comes from. Do you think it was because of some dude named Mark who wanted to leave his mark on history somehow or something?
Mark!
Oh shit, right, there we go.
He eased out from the shop where he hid for so many hours. As part of his preparation, he had plotted his course through the darkest parts of the street minutes before, and now it was only a matter of making sure everything was still the way he'd seen it and heading out. Vicky tried to lean back in her seat and grunted softly when her head bumped into the side of the paneled van they had rented for the operation. They always made the vans look much roomier in the movies. Or maybe Taylor had skimped and stuck her in this tiny piece of shit because he was a cheap motherfucker. Either way, it wasn't quite the space she was used to. Thus far, being the literal woman in the van had turned out to be much less glorious a job than she'd thought it would be. Still, watching him try to sneak through the streets of New Orleans, even in the deepening shadows, in a suit that weighed close to half a ton was hilarious. And, she decided, it almost made it all worth it. Her head snapped around at the sound of a second call coming in. It was adorable how Nikki tried to mask her caller ID like she thought she wouldn't see right through it.
I love you, cousin, but I'm a little busy right now. You have about 45 seconds before I have to take care of business. What business? You don't take care of business.
Nikki sounded a little stressed and like she was in a car.
Is that how you want to spend your 45 seconds? Whatever. It doesn't matter. I want you to tell McFadden to get his ass on the road now. I don't mean sometime tomorrow, mind you. I mean right now. I'll need him in Louisiana immediately, if not faster. And I won't wait around because he won't get on a fucking plane like a normal person. Deal.
The hacker replied and stared morosely at the tight confines of the van. Night was falling and it still felt as hot as it had been at midday. At least Taylor had the presence of mind to park her in the shade and leave the air conditioning on.
We'll be there when you land. Wait, what?
Her eyebrows raised when she realized her mistake.
Oh, would you look at the time? I have to go. Bye.
She pressed the button to end the call with a little more force than was necessary and shook her head.
Yeah, you can keep world-class data miners from digging into your life, but the moment your mouth opens, you share all that information anyway,
she muttered aloud.
What was that?
Taylor asked, and she realized her line with him was still open.
It sounded like you were talking to Nikki. Something about her landing somewhere?
Son of a bitch. Nothing, Taylor. You know what she's like and how she always calls at the worst moments to chat. Everything's fine here. How are you?
He didn't answer. Not that she expected him to. It was better to simply move past this whole fiasco and pretend it was all simply a bad dream. Chapter 2 The tension in the plane was palpable, and she knew her irritation was the cause. Of course, it wasn't that she had never been hung up on. It was annoying, and she always immediately had the instinct to call the person again so she could hang up on them. Nikki stared at her phone for longer than necessary, and tried to focus on the facts rather than her reaction. Vicky had ended the call right after telling her that she and Taylor would be waiting for them when their plane landed. It could only mean one of two things. They were already in the area, or Vicky was lying. Either way, she needed more information. Finally, she looked up and realized that both Jansen and Maxwell were watching her. They turned their attention to their work quickly, a little too late to avoid irritating her even further. She shook her head and pulled up her contact list. On some level, she wasn't sure how she felt about having Taylor's personal number and his business number. The fact that this wasn't the first time she was forced to call both to get in touch with him also seemed unnecessary. She pressed to dial the number and tried to relax in her seat.
McFans Max, this is Elisa. Well, you're cute,
Nikki muttered. The woman had a pleasant speaking voice, which is probably why she did so well in sales for the company. That was what Vicky said, at least.
Hey, this is Nikki Banks, and I need to have a quick word with Taylor. A business matter, you understand. Oh, hi, Nikki,
the woman mumbled. From her hesitant tone, she clearly recalled exactly who she spoke to. There were regrets about their first interaction, but it had been something of a volatile time.
Taylor isn't here at the moment. He was called out of town. Would you like me to take a message? Oh, out of town, is he? Do you have any idea where he might be? Somewhere in the southeast, perhaps? In a bayou? I'm not sure. Sure you're sure. You're a reporter, Elisa. Go ahead and report. Well, honestly, it sounds like you have more information than I do. I haven't been around long enough for them to entrust me with that kind of detail. I'm not in the chain of command, and my boss is AWOL. I can transfer you to Bunches if you want. You go ahead and do that.
Nikki took a deep breath and tried to remind herself that these people were her friends, or at the very least her contacts, and she needed to be nice to them or risk losing them forever. No, she wouldn't lose Taylor or the rest of his team, but she still needed to put some effort into being a nice person. She shook her head gently. Nikki, Bungies asked as he answered, Elisa says you're in a bad mood. How can I help you?
I'm not... Whatever. It doesn't matter. Look, I know Taylor is in New Orleans, and I only want to know what's happening.
I can neither confirm nor deny your assertions, he stated quickly. She sighed and rubbed her temples, which didn't seem to help. You were the one who said you wanted plausible deniability when it came to some of our less-than-legal dealings. I'm simply doing you a favor here.
Fine. But you can tell me whether he is in New Orleans or not, right?
The mechanic paused as he thought about it for a moment. Finally, he took a deep breath.
Fine. Yeah, he's in New Orleans. Why do you ask, though?
Because that's where I'm heading, and I need a team there on the ground. And not only Taylor and Vicky. I'll need the whole McFadden team.
We never agreed to be called that.
Then work up an actual name for yourselves. Until then, I'll call you the McFadden team. Or McFadden's Mercs. Yeah, Mercs rolls off the tongue a little better.
Yeah, it does.
No matter. And don't worry. I won't ask why Taylor is out there on his own with only Vicky for backup. Rack all the suits and pack them for a quick trip to Louisiana. I'll divert the flight to Vegas to pick you guys up. Make sure you and Tanya are ready for action and that my suit is too. Oh, and Bungies?
Yeah?
Nikki smiled.
You do him and your team proud. Oh, and know that when I find Taylor, I'll find out what he and my cousin are doing in New Orleans. If he's pulling another casino stunt, I will place the bullets in his body myself. You know, fair warning in case you didn't expect this shit to get graphic.
He laughed. Yeah, it's nice to hear from you too, Nikki. For what it's worth, even Taylor isn't stupid enough to run a casino heist solo, so whatever he's doing probably isn't that. Anyway, I'll see you soon. He hung up and she stared at her phone for a few more seconds before she turned to Jansen.
I'll change the flight plan, he grumbled and stood to go to the cockpit to talk to the pilot.
It wasn't the first time they changed the plan mid-flight. She wanted to make a comment about how she wouldn't underestimate the depths of stupidity Taylor was willing to descend to, yet it felt a little unfair. The man was smart enough in his own right. Hell, he had pulled off robbing a casino in broad daylight and now reaped the benefits of it. As far as she knew, there were only a handful of successful casino robberies, and very few had been performed without inside help. Maybe he did have inside help. She wasn't sure about the details, and while that was intentional, she would have to hear the full story eventually. Maybe it would be a story he shared on their first date. It was something to think about for the future. Jansen returned from his errand and settled into his seat. Nikki could already feel the gentle tilt as the plane began to turn.
"The new flight plan is filed," he confirmed. "We'll arrive a little later than expected, but I guess we'll make up for it by having our ground team in earlier than anticipated. You know that if Taylor isn't there, they could simply catch a flight and meet us in New Orleans too, right?"
"There is a small problem of transporting the suits. Not many commercial airliners will be happy about carrying weapons like that."
The man nodded.
"I guess that's a good point, and one I should remind myself of. Still, we might have to find a better way to go about this than having to either wait for them to drive to where we need them, or go and pick them up."
"That's also a good point," she conceded. "But it'll work for now."
Bobby slid his phone into his pocket. He had hoped there would be a little more time between jobs, and Taylor's excursion in pursuit of vengeance had seemed to indicate some respite. The reality, though, was it was only a matter of time until Nikki decided she needed their services again. When it rained, it poured, and all that bullshit. He pushed from his seat and took a last swig of the mostly lukewarm coffee before he wandered to where Lisa was still seated. The woman knew how to keep herself busy, and by the looks of it, she was working up profiles on the rest of the Merc companies they could cold call later on in the quarter when they were ready to pick up more business. It wasn't that they needed much more business these days, but Taylor had gone on at length about the controlled growth of the business. Bobby assumed this had to do with putting in the time and effort to make sure they didn't end up crushed by their business expansion. Still, the guy was feeding his cash flows in other ways, which meant they could probably afford to push in a couple of new workers when he was ready. In addition to Elisa, of course. "What kind of schedule are we looking at over the next couple of days?" he asked, leaning on the desk and peered at the screen like he understood what was displayed.
"We have no new arrivals," Elisa stated. "Our next parts order will arrive next week, and the next suit deliveries are scheduled for 3 days after that, so we will have a ton of work to do then. For now, though, all we have on the docket is taking the suits we have apart and cleaning them in preparation for the parts we need to put in."
Bobby nodded slowly. At least, in this case, it meant there was nothing pressing they needed to attend to while they were off making their lives difficult with Nikki. "Tanya, we'll need to get ready for a trip out of here," he called to where the woman remained focused on taking one of their more recent deliveries apart.
"What kind of trip?"
she asked without looking up from her work. "The kind that requires us to bring our suits along," he replied and immediately tensed because he already knew how she would react to the statement. Sure enough, she didn't disappoint. She pulled away from her task when she heard those words and tilted her head to fix him with a firm look.
"Are you sure that's a good idea? Taylor was insistent when he said he didn't need any help out there for that little operation of his. In fact, I think his exact words were, 'You need to sit the fuck down and recover from your last mission. Vicky and I can handle this on our own. Get better, or I'll put you in a hospital bed myself.' I can't say I'll always agree with the guy's methods, but he does get some results that I'm a fan of."
The mechanic would never admit that being told to sit a mission out hurt his feelings, but that was what happened. He didn't like being sidelined, despite the fact that his entire right side still felt a little stiff, and he needed the pain medications the doctors had prescribed him. No surgery had been required, fortunately, as nothing was broken. He'd been left with considerable bruising and the effects of twists and pulls that would inevitably need a few weeks to recover from. Or so they said. It had been a few weeks, and the bruises had gone from purple to almost black and had now begun to fade a little. The pain and stiffness were easing, and while he wasn't raring to get back into the thick of it again, it wasn't a pleasant feeling to see a man he had come to think of as his brother head into action and order him to sit on his ass. "Well, it looks like Nikki will need our help now," he told her calmly. "She said she's heading into something and will need extra bodies on it. Also, she wants us to load all the suits, as well as hers, and get them to the airstrip. They'll meet us there." Tanya frowned as he headed to where the suits were stored and stood quickly to move closer and stop him from loading his onto his truck. Taylor had taken Liz for his little operation, which coincidentally was in the same area to which Nikki wanted them to go. That left Bobby's vehicle as the only large enough to transport the crates of suits if they needed to. "What?" he asked.
"It's too soon, and you know it. You're still recovering, and if you pull or break something because you charged into the freight too early, it would piss me right the fuck off."
She leaned in to press a light kiss to his lips and held his jaw between her hands as she pulled away to ensure that his attention was on her and nothing else.
"I never thought I would fall in love with someone as crazy as I am, so I know a thing or two about what you're going through. With that said, now that I've found you, We need to make sure we don't get into crazy situations while still injured, okay?
Bobby couldn't help a small smile as he placed a light kiss on her cheek. Until I think we're no longer in agreement or the situation changes, we're good. She scowled but patted him on the cheek and smiled.
I guess I'll have to settle for that, you obstinate man.
The suits had already been cleaned and readied for transport, which meant it wasn't long before they were on the road toward the tiny airstrip outside the city that Nikki always used. The drive took a little while, and they also had to wait before the plane landed and taxied to where they were parked. The people who worked there responded quickly and efficiently to refuel as Nikki exited. She left her entourage inside as she jogged to where they were parked. You're late, Bobby commented as the forklift drove to pick their cargo up to load it on the plane. Do you know how long we had to wait here?
Yeah, my bad. We had to fly across the country to pick you guys up. No biggie,
she commented, and folded her arms as her keen eyes immediately noted the three suits that were being carried to the plane.
I told you guys to load all the suits, and unless I suddenly lost the ability to count, it looks like we're down one.
You didn't lose the ability to count, but we're not down any, he replied quickly.
What gives, Bungees?
He shrugged. I'm not Taylor, so I won't drop everything to help you out on a moment's notice. She narrowed her eyes at him.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I'm kidding, of course, Bobby cut in quickly with a laugh. But in this case, there's a ton of work to be looked after around here. Honestly, I don't think I'm fully recovered from my last stint, so I'll watch this one from the sidelines. Tanya will take lead with you, one of your goons, and Taylor.
And you still won't tell me what the hell he's doing in the bayou?
You know, for someone who doesn't want to know about our illegal dealings, you sure sound like you want to know about them. Nikki smirked and patted him gently on the shoulder.
I thought it was worth at least one more try. Anyway, if I know McFadden at all, the chances are I'll find out on the news soon. But, yeah, you should take it easy on yourself. I remember the condition of your suit after Taylor pulled you out of that facility.
Yeah. Tanya insisted I stay behind for this trip, at least until something goes horrendously wrong, and you guys need me to head in and bail you all out of whatever mess you've gotten into. She smirked and extended her hand. Bobby took it and shook firmly. You take good care of Tanya out there.
Of course.
Tanya snorted.
Like I can't look out for myself. Everyone needs someone to watch their back, especially in our line of work, the agent pointed out. Okay, we should get loaded and take off as quickly as possible. Thanks for coming to my aid at the drop of a hat, guys.
When you unpack it all, you might want to take a look at your suit, he advised. Taylor and I repaired where it was dinged in the last mission, and he put in a few additions based on your fighting style. I'm not sure how the man does it, but he does have an eye for making the suits work better for the person in them. We weren't sure which of your boys would head into combat with you, though, so he set the third suit into what could be called neutral, and he'll probably work it out when you guys land. Nikki uttered a low whistle.
I look forward to seeing what he put in there, but I guess I'll have to wait and see. For now, let's head out.
Bobby wasn't sure what he felt when he watched the two women walk toward the plane. He merely knew he wouldn't move from his position until he could see the aircraft taking off. It wouldn't take long. The people working on the airstrip were professionals, and the plane was already loaded and refueled by the time the women boarded. It was clear that whatever they were heading out to deal with, it was an emergency and time was of the essence. He watched as the plane turned, increased speed, and finally became airborne to vanish rapidly from view, except for the blinking lights. There was no telling how long he stood there. The workers had already left for the night, so he was mostly on his own except for the security personnel. They'd better take care of her, Bobby muttered under his breath before he finally spun on his heel and climbed into his truck again. It was lighter for the trip back, but seemed to take twice as long. Elisa was locking up when he arrived at the shop, which meant the only thing for him to do was head home for the night. Maybe he could have a drink or two before that somewhere along the way. It sounded like a good idea. Chapter 3. Having Vicky distracted during their mission was probably not the most auspicious of starts. Still, the nature of the operation was essentially unfamiliar territory for Taylor, and he needed to be focused. He had never been the kind of operative who worked in the shadows before. Most of what he'd done had been up close and personal, and not usually against humans. There had been enough of that, too, he reminded himself. But once he got to the zoo, all that had been traded in for a brand new set of skills that had been critical for his survival. It was the kind that would probably never be taught in any boot camp, although if anyone ever wanted to try, now was the time if they wanted to keep all the recruits alive and well in the jungle. He wondered if the prospect of training specifically for zoo-based operations would bring in more recruits,
or drive them away.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?